Hey guys, I'm Simon with the Hard Time Strong Men podcast, training up a bear class of men. And today, I am all on my lonesome. Seven is gone. He had to go get his gallbladder removed, I guess. You know, whatever. But today, we're talking about the Geneva suggestions. So, with the war in Ukraine, with, you know, all of our country's histories, there's been a lot of talk of the Geneva suggestions, the international, humanitarian treaties and everything in the news recently. But I, for one, was not too spun up on the ins and outs of those treaties, what that actually meant. People make a lot of jokes about, you know, the Geneva Conventions, Geneva Suggestions, but I wanted to dig into that and see what those are really about, what those really mean. And I wanted to talk a little bit about why, you know, that's actually important. So reference for today is the International Committee of the Red Cross. I'll leave a link in the description, but let's go ahead and get into it. So, Geneva Suggestions. In 1949, the Geneva Conventions and their additional protocols are international treaties that contain rules limiting war. They protect non-combatants, so civilians, medics, aid workers, and those who can no longer fight, the wounded, sick, shipwrecked troops, POWs, in times of war. And that's paraphrased from the Red Cross. So, history about the Geneva Conventions. The Geneva Conventions are at the core of international humanitarian law. So, the IHL, or, you know, commonly known as the Law of War or the Law of Armed Conflict, is a set of rules that seeks, for humanitarian reasons, to limit the effects of armed conflict. It was it started as a diplomatic conference of Geneva in 1949, and 196 states have signed the Geneva Conventions. So, gang's all here. You're here for that. Diving into the conventions and protocols. So, the first Geneva Convention, first written in 1864, revised in 1949. Full title is the Convention for the Amelioration of the Condition of the Wounded and Sick in Armed Forces in the Field. So what does that mean? That means that it protects the wounded and sick soldiers on land, protects medical and religious personnel and medical units and transports, and recognizes distinctive emblems being the cross, the crescent moon, and the diamond. And the way that the conventions do this is the convention is an international treaty. So all of the 196 states, so all the countries in the world, right, have agreed to ratify these treaties, saying, hey, we won't do this, this, and this. This gives them accountability within themselves, so just as a nation, but also accountability on the world stage. And we'll talk about ramifications for breaking that towards the end of the episode. But the power, the rule that this holds is, you know, peer-to-peer. So that's why, you know, states will actually feel compelled to, you know, to follow this. The Second Geneva Convention, also 1949, the Convention for the Amelioration of the Condition of Wounded, Sick, and Shipwrecked Members of Armed Forces at Sea. So basically the first convention, but for, you know, for the sea, for maritime. Protects the wounded, sick, shipwrecked at sea, protects hospital ships. The Third Geneva Convention, also 1949, the convention relative to the treatment of prisoners of war. So, per the title, this protects prisoners of war and sets conditions and places of captivity, so it defines those, and establishes the principle that prisoners of war shall be released and repatriated without delay after the cessation of active hostilities. Fourth Geneva Convention, the convention relative to the protection of civilian persons in time of war. So, protects the civilian population and ensures humanitarian relief. And real quick, guys, let's go ahead and hear a word from our sponsors.
This podcast is sponsored by Blackbeard Firestarter. Blackbeard Firestarter has been our first choice in Firestarter since they introduced their Firestarter rope years ago.
Blackbeard offers their fire starters, their fire plugs, arc lighters, ferro rods, stormproof matches, everything you need to get a fire started.
Their products are made right here in the U.S., wind and waterproof, have an insane burn time, they're basically dummy-proof.
And to help you out, Blackbeard let us cherry-pick from their store everything that we want, everything that we thought you needed to get a fire started, and we call it our Hard Time Strong Men Fire Kit. On top of that, they're also offering a 15% discount on anything in their store when you enter code STRONGMEN at checkout.
We can't recommend Blackbeard enough. They stand behind their products, and so do we.
Be sure to check them out at blackbeardfire.com and on Instagram at blackbeardfire. And as always, stay in the fight.
Stay in the fight. And now a word from our newest sponsor, Granite Rifle Group. Granite Rifle Group is a precision rifle company owned and operated by a USMC veteran. You've probably heard him on our show.
Granite offers turnkey rifle solutions built around your field use with plug-and-play upgrades available to tailor your rifle for your specific needs. GRG offers simple rifle kits or complete custom builds available to suit every need, from the weekend target shooter or hunter to the long-range precision rifleman.
Granite Rifle Group is all about putting high-quality precision rifles into the hands of Americans to extend the reach of the American rifleman. And when you use the code STRONGMEN at checkout, you'll get 6.9% off your order. Nice.
Nice. Check them out at graniterifelegroup.com or find them on Instagram at granite_rifle_group_LLC. And as always, stay in the fight.
Stay in the fight.
So those were the four main conventions in the Geneva Conventions. Now after this, we have Article 3, which is commonly called the Common Article 3, and is conflicts not of an international character. So this provision is in all of the four conventions of 1949, and it ensures the humane treatment to military personnel that have surrendered, are casualties, so you're wounded, are sick, are POWs. It prohibits violence to life and person, so murder, mutilation, cruelty, torture. Prohibits hostages, prohibits the humiliation, degradation of, of these soldiers. Prohibits passing sentences or executions without previous judgment from a regularly constituted court. So you're not having, just guys, squads go off crazy and start executing people, without due cause, or executing people without a proper court. Ensures the wounded sick will be collected and cared for. And it opens up the door for an impartial body like the international community, the Red Cross, to come in and provide services during the conflict. So like when we deployed, if guys had something happen at home, they would actually get contacted via the Red Cross and say, hey, so-and-so has died, has this going on, and they can actually pull guys out and care for their family. So just basic, human stuff. The big takeaway here was that it was so important because this provision encompasses the fight at home. So civil wars, guerrilla fighting, etc. So all the other conventions were international, right? So if you had, fights on, someone else's soil, this, this was for fights at home. And Protocol 1, so this was ratified in 1977, and it's the protocol additional to the Geneva Conventions of 12 August 1949 and relating to the protection of victims of international armed conflicts. So it strengthened the protections for victims of international armed conflict, and it placed limits on the ways wars are fought. Protocol 2, also 1977, protocol additional to the Geneva Conventions of 12 August 1949 and relating to the protection of victims of non-international armed conflict. So it strengthened the protections for victims of non-international armed conflict, and it was the first ever international treaty devoted exclusively to situations of non-international armed conflicts. So once again, civil wars, guerrilla fighting, etc. And Protocol 3, this was ratified in 2005, the protocol additional to the Geneva Conventions of 12 August 1949 and relating to the adoption of an additional distinctive emblem. So this is where we get the additional emblem of the red crystal or red diamond, which has the same international status as the Red Cross and the Red Crescent Moon's emblems. And just some basic Googling said that was just to help include more cultures, make it more distinctive. And some other footnotes on the Geneva Convention. So weapons regulated by various international humanitarian law or IHL treaties. So this isn't specifically in the Geneva Conventions. These are, you know, this is encompassed by a lot of different treaties, but this all falls under the international humanitarian law. So as a general catch-all statement, the use of means and methods of warfare which are of a nature to cause superfluous injury or unnecessary suffering is prohibited. So a weapon having the nature of causing superfluous injury or unnecessary suffering. So being a humanitarian law, you know, conflicts do arise. They've always arised, but the aim is to limit the brutality of war. So weapons that are prohibited under, you know, different treaties: explosive projectiles less than 400 grams. So explosive bullets are a no-go. Expanding or flattening bullets, which is actually pretty funny to think of. I didn't really think about it while I was in, but that makes sense why we didn't have stuff like Hornady or, you know, other bullets like that that would expand impact and make a lot more sense for, you know, for human targets that weren't wearing armor. But there you go. Poison or poisoned weapons, chemical, biological weapons, that's a no-brainer after World War II. Yay for that. Incendiary weapons. So this specifically, so with a lot of these treaties, it depends on, you know, some of these rules, it depends on how the action is undertaken. So Vietnam, for example. So incendiary weapons, napalm, right? If you aren't, you know, dusting a city with this crap and just trying to kill as many people as you can, if you're going to, oh, hey, I just need to clear this brush, you know, that's one thing. Dropping it on a, you know, on a hospital is another. Weapons that injure by fragmentation, specifically those fragments are unable to be detected by x-ray. So if you think about, if you're triaging a guy that has, you know, a bunch of fragmentation wounds and you can't see anything, then yeah, guys, SOL. Blinding laser weapons, mines, booby traps, other devices. You know, once, you know, like I said, we'll talk about the actual, you know, ramifications of not following this, but, you know, hi, Afghanistan. Anti-personnel mines, explosive remnants of war, and cluster munitions. So, consequences of violating international humanitarian law, it depends. So, in theory, you will have moral outrage, sanctions, international investigations, trials, you know, war trials, quote, a state responsible for IHL or international humanitarian law violations must make full reparation for the loss of injury it has caused. In turn, individuals responsible for war crimes must be searched for, investigated, and prosecuted. Hello, Operation Paperclip. Once again, depends on the publicity of the conflict and who wins. So, if you're the winner, not a lot of people are going to be coming after you, right? If you're the loser, then you get trials and you get your best scientists, you know, flown out of the country. But, yeah, it's a great theory. And we see that sometimes, you know, we see, you know, if there are allegations of war crimes, then, you know, there will be sanctions and moral outrage and investigations, but it's conflict. It's extremely hard to run an investigation, you know, in the middle of a conflict, you know, an armed conflict. Think about trying to investigate something in war, you know, it's messy. So why should the Geneva Conventions be followed and why are they important? So outside of the obvious moral implications, right? I'm a Christian. You know, that's a pretty messy thing to, you know, to make sense of in wartime just on its own. But, you know, it's a pretty obvious choice of why I'm not, you know, going to want to be going around torturing people and, you know, causing all this, you know, superfluous or flagrant loss of life and in the worst way possible. That's, you know, that's easy, right? But outside of the moral argument, why? Okay. For one, the publicity. Moral outrage. So if you are trying to win a conflict, you are not trying to win a conflict only on your military might. You're trying to win on all fronts, right? Especially if you're talking about, a guerrilla type fight. The people are the fight. Hearts and minds. You're trying to win politically. You're trying to win the hearts of the people. You're trying to win benefactors. You're trying to win allies. And committing a bunch of war crimes is not a good look. You know, one of the, what was it? It was a biography I read, or biography, or just a historical novel I read called The Swamp Fox, about Francis Marion. One of the many things that he's known for, right? So guerrilla warfare, but also the way that he treated his enemies. So you had a lot of guys who would go, around and, pillage, burn down homes. That would not fly with him, with his men. That is not what he did. And, people saw that, people noticed that, especially if, you had people that, he had captured. He did not torture them, did not do anything, crazy nasty with them. And that stuck. And he actually had people who would change sides, because of the way that he treated his enemies. Now, I don't know what the right answer is for you, but if we can avoid conflict, we should. But if we have to, get into conflict, then, in my opinion, you need to do it the right way. But in the words of Six, it would be genuine suggestions. So that's the Ali episode. And that is all I have for you guys. Like I said, these are naturally shorter episodes. I thought I was going to have a lot more back and forth with this one, but, someone had to go have a medical emergency, so whatever. I guess that was important. But link in the description for the resources that we used today, the references we used today. Also throw in a picture of the Red Cross, the Red Crescent Moon, and the Red Diamond on the IG and on the Patreon. Also, guys, hit up that link for links to our Discord, our Patreon, all that stuff. Just more ways to connect with us. Let us know what you want to talk about next. You guys really liked that shotgun episode, so hopefully we can get some more stuff in that vein. But we'll see what we got. Until next time, guys, we're the Hard Time Shaman Podcast. Drink up a bear class of man. Stay in the fight.
Check out our Discord, where we talk about all of the topics that we talk about in our conversations, but in deep dive format. We have a lot of members on there of varying skill sets, of varying proficiencies, all talking about all these topics, sharing their experiences. So join today and help us expand our knowledge base.
And check out our Patreon. Our Patreon, outside of just backing up all of our episodes for when we eventually get canceled, our patrons get access to our exclusive episodes, our pre-shows, our post-shows, our little tidbits here and there that we aren't really supposed to talk about. We're also opening up all of these exclusive episodes for people to individually purchase. So you don't have to get tied into a tier in order to get all that content. You can dip your toes in a little bit, decide you like it, then come and join us on that. We're having exclusive conversations, and along with the Discord, we are just building that community, building that skill set, that mastery, these proficiencies. And this, outside of our sponsor, is what's keeping the lights on and keeping all of this information, all these classes rolling for you guys. So make sure to check out our Patreon. And one last thing, guys, the world is better with you in it. If you're feeling suicidal or if you're in crisis, dial 988 or reach out at 988lifeline.org to get help. Someone's always on the line. So if you need a lifeline, remember 988. Stay in the fight.
Stay in the fight.